Hello, I'm Howard and welcome to the 9320 podcast and episode 3 of Hot Potatoes, a show about, well, the title should be pretty self-explanatory. We tackle two hot topics every episode. You know the sort of thing, how have Liverpool not won everything every season considering they are best in the world in every department from manager, players, backup players, catering, recruitment, mascots and furloughing? And if Johnny Evans is the answer, what on earth is the question? That sort of stuff. We've actually got two sensible topics to discuss. And to do so, the heavyweights are in, though their BMIs are unknown. It is Ehsan and Steve. Good afternoon, Ehsan. How are you?
Afternoon, Howard. I'm pretty good. What's BMI?
your body mass index. Oh, if you're over 25, okay. You're obese, apparently. So.
Okay. Got you. No, I don't know what my BMI is.
No, you'll do 5K every morning anyway, aren't you? So.
10.
Sorry.
Yes. 10. The numbers have gone up in the last month.
Nice one. Well, yours will be low then. Stay. Yes. Good afternoon.
What's one further than obese? Is it one after that?
I don't know. Morbidly obese, I think.
Oh, shit, so. Yeah. Oh, that sounds horrible. No, I'll stick with obese. Yeah, my BMI is obese.
I've got a lot of steps in this week, but most of it has been done whilst rain comes in from a sideways angle, so I'm not sure it's really done me any good. How are you doing, anyway?
Well, I'm very good, thank you, but I'll just stay with this for a minute and I'll admit something, right? So I went to buy a jacket the other day, and there was this kind of like a shacket, it's almost like a shirt. I thought, I really like that, but it's very boxy. So I went in the changing room, and I swear to Christ I'm not exaggerating, right? I look so fat in it, that I thought it was like one of those kind of fairground mirrors. And then I genuinely did. And then I thought, to such an extent, I had enough time to think, but why would they put a fairground mirror in a changing room? That just seems weird. Then I realised it was me. And I didn't buy the jacket.
Oh, dear. Mm. Well, summer's coming, so we'll all be outside.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
We'll be outside then. Getting lots of exercise, no doubt. If it ever stops raining, that is, obviously.
Salad season.
Indeed. Right, we've got a lot to talk about, as always. On this hot potato. I'm amazed it's only the third episode. It feels like we've already talked about a lot in this series, but I guess we have within two episodes. So, a little preamble. Topic one, football and competitiveness. It's the Miguel Delaney, might as well be Celtic, crossover topic that we've all dreamed of talking about. Steve began the discussion on WhatsApp a day or two or so, probably yesterday, with a devil's advocate argument or question that if City won 4 in a row in the Premier League, then it would be better for football if someone else won the league next season. But I'd like to widen it out to a general look at competitiveness of football, the unlevel playing fields that exist, and always have, of course, and where you stand as a City fan is the most important aspect of this, what you get from success. I suggested on the chat that City are reaping the rewards of a system designed partly to restrict the likes of City. Many of the red sycophants in the media portray recent attempts to change regulations as an attempt to prevent states buying clubs, but really to protect the status quo as it always was. And ultimately, it's billionaires protecting interests. Nothing more, nothing less. That's top-level football now. So, after that essay, Ehsan, a broad opening question. I think we'll differ somewhat on this, but we will see. Is the setup of top-level football from the Premier League to the Champions League, you know, in England and in Europe and elsewhere, how power is held, how money is distributed, is it fair? Is the potential path to success for an unsuccessful club fair and achievable?
I guess it depends.
Nice little gimme for you, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it depends upon how you define fair. So is it fair that there are rich people and poor people in the world? And if your blanket answer to that is no, it's not fair that some people have more money than other people, some people have more resources than other people, some people have access to more resources than other people, then in a similar fashion, you could look at football and go, it's not fair. It's not fair that Reading's owner is terrible and has sold their training ground to Wycombe Wanderers, yeah? it's not fair that Luton have got a really good manager and some really good players, but they're probably going to get relegated. But if we're going to look at it, if we're going to begin by looking at it in the broadest sense possible, then most things in life aren't fair, and football is no different in that respect.
Indeed. Just to stick with you, Ace, and you're obviously a fan of investment in football, as investment is a good thing in the rest of the world elsewhere in business, and football clubs are businesses, essentially, even if some will claim they're not. So, to play devil's advocate, is investment, if investment was allowed, unlimited investment in football, is it not just a race to find the richest owners to get success at a football club?
But these things are all relative in a way. So an owner can't kick the ball in the back of the net. Mm. An owner can give the tools to the people who do the recruitment to recruit the right people to kick the ball in the back of the net well. I think when you talk about, again, in the broadest possible sense, when you talk about the idea of inward investment into an industry, it is very rare that that is framed negatively. So more money in the TV industry, in the film industry, in the football industry, in whatever industry you want to point at. Generally, those things are seen as a good thing because, you know, it does increase competition, but it does give the people who work in those industries more opportunity to climb some sort of professional ladder. So there's a kind of, there is a virtuous circle within that. The people that worked at Manchester City in 2005, 6, 7, some of those people, granted a very small amount, but some of those people still work at Manchester City Football Club. And for those people, their professional lives have improved dramatically because of the inward investment into City as a football club. So I think there's a separate conversation about what is competition. And I think that once we land there, I think it'll be easier to begin to kind of peel the onion of competition within football. But if we're talking just about investment, well, I struggle to see a world in which investment is bad. The way you framed it, yeah, about isn't it just a race to find the richest owner, is actually the most reductive way that something like that could be framed. And it's the type of framing that generally you get from people who don't want their own primacy challenged. You'll hear United fans and Liverpool fans and Arsenal fans say that because actually they don't want people to come in with the resources to challenge their football club. So they will say things like, well, if you want to challenge United or Liverpool, we'll use Liverpool as a better example. If you want to challenge Liverpool, well, you have to grow organically. You have to find a way to organically increase your revenues year on year until eventually you have the revenues to be able to put together a squad to get Champions League football. That's physically impossible. It's, you know, you may as well say, you know what, Ehsan, if you work hard, one day you can be Jeff Bezos. This is not going to happen. It's a way of framing investment in the most negative fashion possible. And that, even though it's become the main way that investment is framed in football, even though buzzwords like sustainability have become such buzzy words in and around football, the actual reality is that the overwhelmingly vast majority of the use of those words is disingenuous.
Steve, it was your suggestion originally about competitiveness. Your thoughts on all of this. Is football competitive right now? Do you care? do you think football needs more variety in its Premier League winners? Where do you stand on all of this?
You see, I'm somewhat compromised by the fact that I'm a Manchester City fan. That's where the problem lies with this discussion. If I was a supporter of any other club, I would be heavily in favour of basically a different team winning the league every year, if possible, or as many different, you know, much variety at the top as possible, just from an interest perspective more than anything. But of course, being a City fan, I want us to win it each and every year. But I did put forward it as kind of a devil's advocate argument, because maybe there's a part of me that does think that. Maybe a part of me thinks if we win the league 4 years running, which has never been done before, and we've made history, how, of course, from a selfish perspective, I'll be absolutely delighted if we went on to win the league again. But if I can take off my City sporting glasses and look at football as a whole, would that be healthy? I mean, we are kind of getting to that stage now where, you know, these journalists who used to say such things about City making football uncompetitive and unhealthy, etc., they weren't wrong. They were just very premature. They wasted little time in, you know, I remember one of them coming out after we beat West Ham 5-0 on the opening game of the season a few years ago and saying, you know, City are ruining football. And then we went on to have a bit of a nightmare couple of months, you know. In general, I think they've just been premature, but they haven't necessarily been wrong. It's not healthy to have one football club just win the league each and every year. You need a variety. You need kind of confluence. So, yeah, I guess that's where ultimately I land, but I'm very, very compromised by the fact that I'm a Blue.
Well, I've used this philosophical situation before, so I'll stick with you, Steve, just before I go to ASN. If City win it on the last day of the season...
Yeah,
and have to come from behind, as they've done twice before.
Yeah.
In a really intense three-way battle. And then we have another three-way battle next season, and City just about get over the line again. And this happens for 10 years on a row. Is the league not healthy? Is the league not competitive? Is the league not as exciting? Does it matter who inches over the line as long as there is competitiveness? Competitiveness during the season.
I think it's a damn good
point,
you know,
dips their head over the line.
Because you look at the Bundesliga and Bayern, what was it, kind of 11 years in a row, was it? 10 years in a row they won the league. You look at about 6 or 7 of those and they were at a canter. You look at Celtic when Rangers had that, you know, all their problems. They were winning the league by, you know, kind of 18, 19 points a season. They were romping it. So that is a different discussion to be had. That is a different way of looking at it. There's dominance in terms of how many trophies you win, but there's also dominance in how superior you are to the opposition.
And City haven't done it at a canter more than...
Exactly, yeah. So it's a very good point you raise there, Howard, to be honest, and that has actually swayed my thinking somewhat. And, of course, again, we go back to me being a Manchester City fan. So if you said to me now, for the next 10 years, you're going to feel like you did when, you know, in that second half against Aston Villa, 10 times over, yes, please. I'll have that feeling every single May until the day I die, if that's possible.
Hey, send your views. If you were an outsider, supporting a team that wasn't in the Premier League, would you say that the top level of English football is competitive right now? The Premier League brand, of course, even though the Premier League is trying to destroy itself, is as strong as ever. Attendances are as strong as ever. The money's pouring in. And ultimately, the strength of the league is not just about a title race either, is it? It's about the league as a whole.
I think one of the things that we have to be careful of is conflating competitive with popular. So the Bundesliga is no less popular in Germany because Bayern win it every year. The New York Yankees have won way more World Series than anybody else in baseball in the US, but, you know, it's still the most popular sport in the US. I think... there was a study done, right, which is that, and I think it was done in American sport, but we can loosely use it as a way of looking at competitiveness in football. So the theory in American sport was that if you have one dominant team, it raises the level of everybody else. That if you have one, like, one team that is just significantly better than everybody else and remain at that level, then that, over time, raises the quality of all the other teams. So you've got the popularity, you've got the popularity aspect and the popularity angle. If one, if only one team is winning it more or less every year, and then you've got the competitive side. And on both sides, it's actually not the issue that people make it out to be. And actually, like, look, us three, we grew up in an era where United were the most dominant team. And we were the rivals. We supported the rival club of Man United. So every time Arsenal won a league, we quietly celebrated, yeah? Mm. Every time Arsenal beat United, we quietly celebrate.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now. Or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.